today on Real Radio.
Now, when these things had thus been prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But in the second part, only the high priest went in alone once a year, and not without blood, which he offered for himself. Why? Anybody know why? The high priest was a what? Thank you. He was a sinner also. So he had to get blood for his own sin. He had to go get an innocent little lamb. And then he had to get the blood for the whole nation. You say, Jack, you're making me sick. Well, yeah, but hang on. It gets better.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his collection of studies called Why Should I? We're in a series called Why Should I Pray? And our teacher has been emphasizing the fact that we all too often take prayer for granted, especially in light of the Old Testament prayer protocol, we might say. Of course, the purpose of this series is to get us to appreciate the privilege of being able to talk to our Maker. Let's continue in this study series called Why Should I Pray? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
All of that blood and all of that protocol and all of that detail was to tell us that God is not easily approached because of our sinfulness and His righteousness. And there must be great detail given. And you say, well, that still doesn't help me much. It won't help you much until you see the New Testament economy. All of the details of the Old Testament, all of the laborious demands of the Old Testament sacrifices and the washing and the blood on the thumb and on the right ear and the right toe for the high priest and all the symbolism and all that stuff. And you go, what is that all about? It's all wrapped up and answered in Jesus Christ. He's the detail. He's the sacrifice. No wonder why John says, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's how we approach God today. When we pray, we are doing what the Old Testament believers never had a chance to do like we do. They had to go through procedure. They had to go through so much protocol. What do? Oh, God, forgive me. Isn't that amazing? They're, including myself, every one of us take that for granted. The Bible tells us in the Old Testament, if you sin, you got to go get a little sacrifice. You got to offer it up to the priest, they got to sacrifice it, and then your sin's forgiven. And then if you go down the street and you fall over a can and you curse or something, you got to go back, offer a sacrifice. Aren't you glad we just say, oh Lord, forgive me for that thought? Man. Well, listen to this. Hebrews chapter 9. I love Hebrews chapter 8, 9, and 10. Those chapters set me free. By the way, those of you who have a very legalistic background, maybe some of you come from a Lutheran background or maybe a Catholic background, you ought to read Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10. And in fact, I'd like to watch you read those chapters because I'll see the weight lifted up off your shoulders. Listen to this, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1. Indeed, even the first covenant, that's the Old Testament, of ordinances, of divine service, and the earthly sanctuary, that's the tabernacle, and then later the temple. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, that's the Holy of Holies, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot and the manna and Aaron's rod that had budded and the tablets of the covenant, or the Ten Commandments. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. If you don't have a mental picture of that, just rent Raiders of the Lost Ark. Spielberg did a great job, by the way. I'm not joking. Beautiful job in the scale and everything. Of these things, we cannot now speak in detail, Now, when these things had thus been prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle, performing the services. But in the second part, only the high priest went in alone once a year and not without blood, which he offered for himself. Why? Anybody know why? The priest, the high priest was a what?
Sinner.
Thank you. He was a sinner also. So he had to get blood for his own sin. He had to go get an innocent little lamb. And then he had to get the blood for the whole nation. You say, Jack, you're making me sick. Well, yeah, but hang on. It gets better. Try this on the first service and see how it goes. But into the second part, the high priest went in once a year and not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit was indicating this. Here's a little insight that the Bible gives on itself, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. That's why the temple and the tabernacles had to be destroyed. It was symbolic, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9 says. All, what? Yeah, what Moses and the children of Israel carried across the desert, it's all symbolic. Yeah, what about though when Solomon built a temple and the Holy of Holies was there? Symbolic. Did you know that? Symbolic. Symbols. It's just symbols until the real thing comes. Symbols. It was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performs the service perfect regarding his conscience, concerned only with foods and drinks and various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. But Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with human hands. That is, not of this creation, not of this world. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he, Jesus, entered the most holy place once for all. People, stop right there. Where and when did he ever do that on earth? It's silent in the sanctuary because he never did. Jesus never offered his own blood in any church, synagogue, temple, or tabernacle in the world. Why? Because those things pass away. Why? Because they're symbolic. Why? Because the greater had come. The real sacrifice. It's Christ. It's awesome. It's liberating. See, why are you telling us this regarding prayer? Oh, because we don't need icons. We don't need symbols. We talk to him. We talk to him all the time. Having obtained, it says, Jesus having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of the heifer sprinkled upon the unclean sanctified them and purified their flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse you from your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Man. Woo-hoo. Now I just get to pray. I get to talk to him because you know what? I don't need to call Pastor Jack on the phone. Will you talk to God? Please talk to God for me. I'm in trouble. You know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you, you read Hebrews 9 and start in verse 1. Let's read it right now. And we'll read it. And then I'm going to say, you talk to God. Go for it. You mean I can do that? Right now. Don't I have to go see my pastor or my evangelist or my priest? Or my cardinal, or my... No! The Bible says that all men are sinners. We all need to go to Christ and in prayer. So the first place regarding our prayer life unto God is to come to him and enjoy that introduction, Lord, forgive me and receive me as your child. Have you done that in your life? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness now to enter the holiest by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us now draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure water, that's a reference of the Word of God, the Bible, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised these things is faithful. I don't know about you, but that flipped me out. When God was giving that to me yesterday, I was so moved. That really touched me. You say, well, how come? Well, maybe it was just for me then. But I get to talk to Jesus anytime I want. I get to talk to the Father. I get to talk to the Holy Spirit anytime I want to. Anytime I need to. My heart broke years ago when I went to Russia for the first time, and I was going to lead in personal evangelism. We're on the streets, and I was going to lead the first Russian that I'd encountered in sharing the gospel to Christ. And everything was going perfect until it came to, let's pray now that you might receive Christ. And they said, well, wait, we've got to go into the church. And I said, why? So God will hear our prayer. Yeah. And I said, where'd you hear that from? That's what we're taught in the Russian Orthodox Church here in Moscow, that God's not going to hear our prayer unless we go into the building. That's where he is. I said, he's right here right now. So how do you know that? I said, listen to the conversation we're having. This is of God. You were doing fine until you got into tradition. And that was a real sticking point with this man. How can I talk to God when I'm not at that temple or at that synagogue or at that church? That's religion. And it's not necessarily a relationship. So that's a very important thing. Listen, there's great hope. There's great excitement for us as believers. Why do we have this need to cry out unto God? God has placed it, I believe, in our hearts. And listen, because mankind is a fugitive from God, we know that he's a self-imposed runaway from God. And yet every person who's even hearing this right now, they know that there's times in life that can be so difficult that they find themselves even calling out to God. Even in their swank and arrogance, there can be a moment when they say, oh God, are you there? That's an awesome thing. There's hope. There's the gospel. Listen, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. Regarding the hope and this act of prayer, being introduced to it. Listen how much the Lord wants us to enjoy this. It says, so Jesus then came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he came into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened it, he found the place where it was written, so he read it. Isn't that interesting? He turned to a specific place in the book of Isaiah. He knew what he was going to do. And he said, Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the recovery of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed upon him. And Jesus began to say to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all the people who bore witness to him marveled at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. The gospel. God wants us to pray. God wants us to be introduced or reintroduced back to fellowship with him. And Jesus' first sermon was out of the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And he says, the Lord has anointed and called me to preach, and here's the message. And let me ask you this. What's wrong with Jesus' message? I've come to open the eyes of the blind. Anything wrong with that, anybody?
No.
To set at liberty those who are captive. Any problem with that? Anybody have a problem with that? To encourage, you have a problem with that? No? Everything that Jesus said was the mission for his coming is good news. It's all good news. And the people, the eyewitnesses, listen, Mr. Skeptic, the eyewitnesses who were there, they marveled at his gracious words. What was he doing? He was inviting people to have an actual relationship with God in a personal way. And they were marveling at that. What's wrong with his message? Answer, nothing. That's what's wrong with it. Nothing's wrong with it. It's perfect. And that upsets people. It's too simple. It's too easy. Prayer's for little kids. The gospel is for weaklings. Not so. Interesting. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, "For there is one God and one mediator." The word in Greek is go-between. You know that. The connection. There's one connection between God and mankind, and that is the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. The word in Greek is a payment for debt. For all of us to be testified in due time. The word testified in due time means once Christ would be resurrected from the dead, every moment of every day from time and eternity would be the right moment to proclaim that Jesus is the go-between regarding mankind and God. You don't need a statue to pray to anymore. You don't need a picture. You don't have to hold that thing. A couple of weeks ago, one of the chief Muslims of the San Bernardino Empire County region, Inland Empire, came, and the gospel was going out, and he sat over here to the right side, this section over here, and held the Quran over his heart the whole time, shielding him from what was being taught and said. And if you were here, you heard things like this: "Jesus died for your sins." Oh, wow. Whoa, that almost got me. "He loves you." Whoa. Oh, I reflected that one. He was holding the Quran over his heart the whole time. And then I was told later, he's shielding himself from all of this terrible bad news. Jesus has come to set at liberty those who are bound. Bound. Amazing. Another thing we see here, that prayer introduces us to God because we believe he's willing to help us. God is willing to help us. Are you with me, everybody? We need to hear this. God is willing to help us. Last night I was driving down the mountain and there was a man. I saw him too late, too much momentum going down the hill, couldn't do anything about it, but you could see him, his car was broken down, and he had such a uncommitted, doubting thumb up in hitchhiking. Poor guy! His car was broken down, and as you come around the corner, I thought, oh, this guy's not going to get any help, because you'd have to slam on your brakes and cause an accident just to help the guy. And he's like this. He's standing there like this. And his thumb wasn't even into it. It's like, I know, there ain't nothing gonna happen. It was really sad. And I thought, man, he doesn't have much confidence in his moment of need. And that thought entered my mind, Lord, I thank you, dear God, that when we pray, you are so willing to help us. I am convinced when trouble comes to my life that God wants to be speaking or saying something to me that otherwise, listen, everyone, otherwise, if it was not for the trouble, I would not hear what he's saying. I'd miss it. I would miss it. He's willing to help. See, Jack, what do you mean by that? I'll show you what I mean by that. How does this grab you? Psalm 50, verse 15. Psalm 50, verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Oh, well, that doesn't grab you unless you're in trouble. So what was that psalm? Psalm 50, verse 15. I'm in trouble. Good. There's a promise for you. Call upon me in your day of trouble. He's willing. How about Psalm 91, verse 14? "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him." That's God speaking. "I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he will call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in time of trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16. Man, that's a good one. I'm confident now. He wants to hear from me. Jeremiah 29, verse 12. Jeremiah 29, 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you have searched for me with all of your heart. Isn't that great? Man, I love that. Why is God so willing? He loves you and me. And also, listen, mark this down. Our third consideration under this one and only point today. Prayer introduces us to God because God alone is our only answer. Did you know that? Oh, this always upsets people. God alone is our only answer. You say, Pastor, you say that one more time. I'm going to get up and get out of here. God alone is our only answer. That's sure narrow-minded. Call me narrow. Look, my mind used to be really open, and I'm still trying to recover from all that. Oh, you know, just do what feels good. I can let my mind go. I can close my eyes. Hey, you know what I'm talking about? I've been saved, what is that, like 26 years now, 27 years? I can let my mind go, and I will see things of the past in technicolor in an instant. I can't remember how to find, you know, whatever I'm looking for. What was that address? Tell me that phone number again. But man, I can let my mind go and it'll go back to the past and all the evil days. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody agree with me now. Yes. Man, you missed. I'm starting to feel kind of alone there for a minute. The point is, don't let your mind go. Bring every thought under the captivity of Christ, says the Bible, you know? But I tell you, what God has delivered me from, and then to just enjoy the whole thing that God alone's the answer for me. You see, well, you must live a very boring and shallow life. No, because God's the only answer. That is absolutely the batteries you need for life. And in my opinion, it propels you into the most exciting life. Why? Because I know that God's the only answer. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, listen to this. Jesus says, do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Do you believe that? I believe that. God is the answer. He's the only answer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called Why Should I Pray? Communication with our Maker is such a God-granted privilege that we're spending a good long time on this topic as we journey through this Why Should I series, and we'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio with more. Now remember that this series, which is a part of a greater series through the Book of Acts, is available to you all on one MP3 CD, as we've been reminding you from time to time. Our offer? If you send in any tax-deductible gift to Real Radio, we'll send it to you. Again, we'll send you this series all on one convenient MP3 CD for your gift to Real Radio of any amount. Whether you call, click, or write, remember the title. In a phrase, Why Should I? And of course, whatever you contribute, it's all tax deductible. Visit us at realradioactive.org to learn more. You'll be able to read about it under the banner Special Offer. realradioactive.org. Or call us using our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. If you'd like to send in your contribution, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Now, of course, if you missed any of this contact information, just remember realradioactive.org. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.